She told him all about it then. A travel agency, mornings. She'd be home in time to pick Paul up from school. As she spoke, David felt as if she were flying away from him. "I've been going crazy," Nora added with a fierceness that surprised him. "Totally crazy with so much time on my hands. This will be a good thing."
"Okay," he said. "That's fine. If you want a job so much, take it."
He tickled Paul and reached for his otoscope.
"Here," he said. "Look at my ears. See if I left any birds in there."
Paul laughed, and the cool metal slid against David's lobe.
"I knew you wouldn't like this," Nora said.
"What do you mean? I'm telling you to take it."
"I mean your tone. You should hear yourself."
"Well, what do you expect?"
he said, trying to keep his voice even for Paul's sake.
"It's hard not to see this as criticism."
"It would only be criticism if it were about you," she said. "That's what you don't understand. But it's not about you. It's about freedom. It's about me having a life of my own. I wish you could understand that."
"Freedom," he said.
She'd been talking to her sister again. He'd bet his life on it.
"You think anyone is free, Nora? You think I am?"
There was a long silence, and he was grateful when Paul broke it.
"No birds, Dad. Just giraffes."
"Really? How many?"
"Six."
"Six? Good grief. Better check the other ear."
"Maybe I'll hate the job," Nora said, "but at least I'll know."
"No birds," Paul said. "No giraffes, just elephants."
"Elephants in the ear canal,"
David said, taking the otoscope.
"We'd better get home right away."
He forced himself to smile, squatting down to pick Paul up, new cast and all. As he felt his son's weight, the warmth of his good bare arm around his neck, David let himself wonder what their lives would have been like if he'd made a different decision 6 years ago. The snow had fallen, and he'd stood in that silence all alone, and in one crucial moment he'd altered everything. "David," Caroline Gill had written in her most recent letter, "I've got a boyfriend now. He's very nice, and Phoebe is fine. She loves to catch butterflies and sing."
"I'm happy about the job," he told Nora as they waited in the hall for the elevator. "I don't mean to be difficult, but I don't believe this doesn't have to do with me."
She sighed.
"No," she said. "You wouldn't believe it, would you?"
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"You see yourself as a center of the universe," Nora said. "The still point around which everything else revolves."
They gathered up their things and walked to the elevator. Outside, it was still a beautiful day, late afternoon, clear and sunny. By the time they got home, the guests had dispersed. Only Bree and Mark were left, carrying plates of food into the house. The ribbons of the maypole fluttered in the breeze. David's camera was on the table, and Paul's fossils were piled neatly beside it. David paused, surveying the lawn scattered with chairs. Once, this whole world had been hidden beneath a shallow sea. He carried Paul inside and up the stairs. He gave him a drink of water and the orange chewable aspirin he liked and sat with him on the bed holding his hand. So small, this hand, so warm and alive. Remembering the light-filled images of Paul's bones, David was filled with a sense of wonder. This was what he yearned to capture on film. These rare moments where the world seemed unified, coherent, everything contained in a single fleeting image, a spareness that held beauty and hope and motion, a kind of silvery poetry, just as a body was poetry in blood and flesh and bone.
"Read me a story, Dad,"
Paul said. So David settled himself on the bed, holding Paul in his arms, turning the pages of Curious George, who was in the hospital with a broken leg. Downstairs, Nora moved through the rooms cleaning up. The screen door swung open and shut again. He imagined her walking through it, dressed in a suit, heading for her new job and a life that excluded him. It was late afternoon, and a golden light filled the room. He turned the page and held Paul, feeling his warmth, his measured breathing. A breeze lifted the curtains. Outside, the dogwood was a bright cloud against the dark planks of the fence. David paused in his reading, watching the white petals fall and drift. He felt both comforted and troubled by their beauty, trying not to notice that they looked, from this distance, like snow.